What are we having for dinner?
Just this.
This is going to make us fat.
You think because we're in shape, we're not already fat? We're like all the cows they raise around here. Stuck. Victims of circumstance. And you know what a cow's biggest contribution to this world is?
You should not drink and bake.
Another cold, rainy day in New York City. The neon lights gleamed in the puddles on the streets. I walked down the street with my fedora in my hand over to the Action Room studio. And then she walked in.
Or he. It's producer.
Or
Mike.
He.
How you doing?
We don't have a female this episode, but given that it's such a dreary film noir-esque day outside today here in New York City, we thought we'd give you that little Humphrey Bogart-esque intro.
We've had such great days, but today, not one of them.
Today, no.
And the whole week is going to be like this, I think.
All right.
Too.
Well, you know what? City. April showers.
Yep.
You know what they bring.
Yeah, you're into the kinky stuff. Okay, listen. So we saw some movies.
Yes.
You saw something that you should have seen last year.
I had a lot of people give me shit for not having yet seen Avatar. Because I didn't think I'd like it. I heard the script's kind of dumb. A lot of people I know with good taste said the script is so bad, and all it is special effects. So now it was gone. It was gone from the theaters.
Right.
It's shocking that in this day and age, a movie with that success level was only in the theaters for like 3 months or 4 months.
Yeah, that's
and then
all
it had to make way for Alice in Wonderland because there's only a finite number of 3D theaters. Anyway,
right.
I never saw it. I know you saw it, producer Mike, and you said
I
you
had to
it.
See it at the IMAX, the big one in Lincoln Center in
right.
New York City. That was the only 3D movie that I had to see in 3D. Everything else I don't care about, but
right.
that I had to see. And now I personally, before you get into
yes.
your review, I actually really enjoyed it, probably more than I thought I would, and it made me feel like a kid. I went with it. I thought
yeah.
it was a good experience.
Cool.
But what
well,
did you
Kim
think?
Rogers, our Action Room friend and correspondent and movie reviewer, she let me know that it was coming back to theaters in 3D for one weekend, and it was supposed to be. She originally thought it was Earth Day weekend, which is last week, which is when the DVD and Blu-ray came out
on the 22nd.
On the 22nd of April. But instead, the 3D movie release was this weekend. So I went. They had one showing a day, and the showing was at 11:30 at night.
Wow!
So I got home at 3 o'clock in the morning last night because I felt, you know what? It's movie history. I host a geek show. I'm a huge pop culture guy. I really
you're
should
a human being on the planet Earth.
I'm a human being on the planet Earth. I really should see Avatar in 3D the way it was meant to. Because if I don't see it this weekend, I'll never see it in 3D. I'll just you know.
Except for on all the TV sets that are going to be 3D in the future.
In the future, the hologram devices. So I'll just briefly say, you know, I'm of two minds about it. I enjoyed it for what it was. They really did, I have to give them credit, they really did create a world. It was a truly, fully realized, immersive world that I did buy. It didn't feel like a video game like I thought it would a lot. Well, sometimes it did, but... And the script, which I'd heard was so bad, the first half is decent. It's
mm-hmm.
not great, but it's decent setup. And there's another writer, a comic book writer named Ivan Brandon, who had this same... He tweeted this or Facebooked this, like, the opening weekend. He said, as he watched it, he said, everyone said the dialogue's so bad. It's not so bad. No, it's not bad. Here I am watching the movie. I'm halfway through. It's not so bad. Oh, I see what they meant. Like, at around the 60% mark, like, three-quarters of the way through, or... two-thirds of the way through, once the shit starts to hit the fan with the characters and the military,
right.
suddenly it just becomes so clunky and so obvious. Another Action Room buddy, Kevin Costigan, summarized it, it's Dances with Wolves with aliens.
Right.
You know, and whatever. But it was truly a great 3D movie, you know, fun experience. I give it credit for the game changer it is in that sense. And I will say... Many times I found myself thinking that I was like, I've been looking at the screen for 20 minutes, and nothing on the screen is real.
Mm-hmm.
It's all computer-generated, and yet it really feels real.
I'm still amazed at how they do 3D. I don't know. I still don't get, do they like make every blade of grass? Like, I don't understand
there
how 3D
There are computer
works.
Programs, I guess, that help them render.
Right.
Almost like in fractal math. But still, they have to render a great deal of it themselves manually.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And to be honest, it's almost like the 3D was cool, but to me it was more about just the graphics in general.
Yeah.
The 3D was just kind of icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm. No, it definitely, I'm glad I saw it in 3D, but yeah, I don't know that I necessarily want to see a sequel or anything,
right.
You know, which
apparently
they probably
they are
will.
Planning.
Yeah, of course.
Now, I also have to give credit to one actor, Zoe, is her name Saladna? She's also in The Losers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Is it Saladana, Saladna? Zoe, please write to us and tell us how to pronounce your name. You were also good in Star Trek. But you know what? She gave one of those motion capture performances where
yeah.
she's all... It's like Andy Serkis as mm-hmm. Gollum in Lord of the Rings. It really struck me and stood out as a good performance.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And they captured every little nuance of her face and every expression.
And that technology is just going to get better. That's
yeah.
the thing.
I was... Her in particular, I was impressed by. Sam Worthington, whatever, he's fine. The guy who plays the evil, gray-haired corporate military guy... Stephen Lang, he's great. I saw him on Off-Broadway in some Broadway show, and he's just so good. It's almost like a Full Metal Jacket type sergeant.
Right, right, right.
But by the end, he's so cartoony and so evil. And also, Giovanni Ribisi is great.
Yeah.
But by the end, he's so laughably evil, too.
Right, right, right.
But he's still such a good actor that he, you know, it was almost like you could tell it was him satirizing Bush
right.
or Rumsfeld or, you know, one of those.
Well, to update the Zoe movies
today. Bring us to the present. I saw Avatar 8 months after it opened.
No, it's good. Better late than never.
Yes.
And so I saw her new movie, The Losers, which now, had you read the comic?
I have not. In fact, DC recently came out with a thing where for $1 you could buy the first issue.
Okay.
And I have it. It's on a pile of comics in my room. I haven't read it yet.
So obviously this is the beginning of the new wave of, you know, kind of...
Non-superhero.
Well, non-superhero, but specifically these kind of mercenaries for hire.
In Hollywood.
The Expendables, the A-Team movie. There was even another one, I think, with Matt Dillon that's coming out along the same lines, you know.
Right.
But anyway, so, okay, what did I expect? I don't know that actually this genre is something I'm, you know, super amped about in general anyway.
It's a fun genre.
It's a fun genre. That's exactly what it was. It was kind of, you know, it made me, reminded me of, like, those old kind of shows like the A-Team, I guess.
The Equalizer.
Or, yeah, you know, stuff like that. And it kind of felt like that, too. It didn't feel like it was necessarily updated in a lot of ways. It kind of droned on, in a sense, you know, almost like a TV show. But I think by the end of it, it got me in terms of, like, it's obviously super cartoony and ridiculous, and, you know, the acting's over the top. But it was characters that I definitely wanted to see in a sequel. And also, they set it up where there has to be a sequel. I don't know how it plays with the comic book and how that works. But the evil character who's played by the guy who plays Michael in The Lost Boys... The brother of Corey Haim. I forget his name.
Oh, I don't know.
He's the main guy. Anyway, he was really funny as the villain and stuff. And I should have everybody's name here, but I don't.
That's all right.
But the guy from Watchmen.
Oh, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I want to say.
Yeah, he was great.
Chris Evans, Captain America.
I got to be honest, though. After seeing him in another role like that, I'm really scared about him in Captain America.
Because why?
Because he just plays like a
goofball.
He's
so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very good with the funny.
So, you know, but I guess he can do it. I don't know.
Well, apparently in Sunshine, he's not a goofball.
We keep referring to those. Look, I think he can do it, but it's just, it's hard when I, and this makes him diverse. He's good. He can do both, but it was really
tough.
He's
so good at the funny.
We're like right there, ready to see him, even maybe in a cameo in the next Iron Man or something, and it's kind of like, I'm just looking at him going, this is not Captain America, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, so I did enjoy it. It was fun. It's a fun movie. Yeah. That's basically where
one
it's
review,
at.
I scan a lot of reviews, little paragraphs or headlines. And one review I saw on Twitter basically said, it's a very fun movie where people say funny things before they shoot.
Right.
Before they shoot things.
Well, I mean, that whole era of...
A pithy line and boom.
The one-liners, you know, from the Schwarzenegger era.
Yes.
You know, I love all that, but...
You shouldn't drink and bake.
Yeah, no, totally. What was that? It's Commando, right? Yeah.
I think so. That might be from Red Heat.
No, I think it's Commando because she throws the cake at him. Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't know. I did enjoy it, and but it was just, again, it was one of those things that, you know, by the end I was into it because
right.
but early on I was just kind of like, I've seen this before, you
right.
know, that kind of thing. But
right.
So I don't know how amped I am, to be honest, about like an A-Team or something like that. But
the A-Team will be funnier and wittier.
I hope so. Yeah. So
even the trailer for the A-Team was different than the trailer for the Losers.
Yeah. So and again. The comic, though, seems like it has some promise, you know, so
yeah,
maybe
yeah,
I'll...
Yeah. I'm very happy for Andy Diggle and the artist of the comic, Jock. It's good stuff. I do hear that the comic has a lot more of, like, conspiracy theory, CIA, sort of Illuminati, you know, and they kind of got rid of that for the movie.
Well, they definitely kept the CIA portion of
right,
it and all that.
Right.
anyway, so I'm looking forward to a sequel, and it's one of those things where I do enjoy the characters, and kind of almost a series for these people would be
yes,
more interesting
than
a movie.
Series, yeah.
Yeah, movie was kind of like, I don't know that I needed to see that, but on
right.
the big screen, per se.
And do they use the art, comic book artwork somehow in the movie?
A
I
little
heard?
Bit, yeah.
Okay.
Not like the way, like in Kick-Ass or something
right.
like that. Speaking of, I just got to end on this note,
yes.
because I want to see the movie, though, is that I heard on another podcast, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, who
oh, yes.
have recently said that they're going to start listening to our show.
That's
awesome.
Nice. Is it Big Kev's Geek Speak or Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
No, that's Comic Geek Speak and
okay.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
So many geek eek rhymes.
We tried
Big
to keep,
Kev's Geek
keep
Stuff.
Geek out of our title.
Yes.
So Big Kev's Geek Stuff. They had mentioned a movie that came out on DVD,
oh,
which
yes.
when I mentioned it to other people, no one has heard of
yes,
this movie.
Literally no one.
Okay, so here's the deal. It's called Defendor,
yes.
O-R. It's from 2009.
Woody Harrelson.
It's now on DVD.
Right.
It's got great acting and great actors by Woody Harrelson.
Kat Dennings,
Elias Koteas, you
yes.
know.
Oh, God, Elias
yeah.
Koteas.
And it looks...
And someone else who's very big, too, is in
I
it.
I think so. But
oh, Sandra Oh. From Grey's Anatomy
right.
and the movie Sideways.
It looks so awesome. And I got to say this about it, because I know I came into the whole Kick-Ass situation
right.
from with a different perspective.
You wanted
and
something
stuff
else.
Like that. This is what... I haven't seen it, but it looks like this is what I wanted Kick-Ass to be. And the sad thing is... It
came out like a year ago in some film festival, and we've never heard of it.
It got no distribution, so it's just sad when a movie like this, which looks like it's probably a little too dark for the mainstream, and if it gets no distribution, it's like it was never made.
Because
and
the guy, the would-be superhero that Woody Harrelson plays from the trailer, which is on YouTube, he's kind of deranged, and he thinks there's a villain. There isn't. He thinks he's a grandiose superhero, and he's really just mentally ill.
It's almost like a take on the superhero thing the way Observe and Report with Seth Rogen was.
Right. Or what's the famous De Niro movie, Taxi Driver?
Yeah, definitely.
It's very like he thinks
oh,
he's
yeah.
this cool guy, and he's really deranged.
So I'm excited. I can't wait to rent it. And when I do, I'm going to review it. I'm going to plug the shit out of this.
Wow.
So,
I like in the trailer Woody Harrelson, someone's like, Defender? And he's like, no,
Defendor!
so check that out, action fans.
Anyway, all right, so let's move on.
So that's our double pack of Losers / Avatar reviews.
Plus
Defendor.
So last minute, I asked Leslie... from geeksoap.net.
Yes, I've been plugging them on Twitter for a while. They make great soap that is like little geek icons or in the shape of cool stuff. They have geeksoap.net. They have soap in the shape of a Nintendo cartridge,
which
is
really
awesome.
Cool. And also D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, rolling dies.
Right,
you know,
dice. Die is the plural of dice.
I did an interview with her. So, actually, let's go to that. And then after the interview, we'll get to the nerd news.
Cool.
This is producer Mike for The Extra Room, and I have Leslie from geeksoap.net on the phone. How are you doing, Leslie?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Now, you took a big risk making Geek Soap, since, as we all know, geeks don't use soap. So, other than maybe saving it for collectibles, how did you come up with the idea?
To be honest, about a year ago, I was making a washcloth. I was knitting a washcloth for a friend of mine who was obsessed with Batman. And it was for her birthday, and when I finished the washcloth, I thought, well, you know, I need something else to go along with this, and I just wasn't sure what to do, and suddenly it hit me, I should make soap, because soap goes with washcloths.
So now, it's all handmade. Is the goal to eventually blow up and have them factory made? Because I'd love to see you on an episode of How It's Made.
That would be great. You know, it's there's a fine line between... getting that big. In my mind, the idea of of making these by hand, and every one of them, I, you know, personally putting my own touch on, is really important to me. The idea of branching out and being a big factory and producing these just seems so impersonal. I don't know how I feel about that. It would be great to be really big, but I don't want to lose the personal touch that I put into each and every soap.
What are some of the Geek soaps that are available for sale right now?
The two different types that are really big are the molds that I've made myself of the 20-sided dice, the D20 soap on a rope. That's a big one, as well as all of the game cartridge soaps, the 8-bit, 16-bit, 64-bit, and the handheld versions. Those are my big sellers right now.
You need the Atari cartridge. Are you working on that?
I agree. I'm working on a Sega Genesis, and Atari is on the list.
And these cartridges won't work if you put them in the actual system.
No, they won't work if you put them in the system. However, the bonus is you're not going to have to blow on them to get them to work in the shower.
Nice. All right, well, this is Producer Mike, and I've been talking to Leslie from GeekSoap.net. Thanks for joining us in the action room, Leslie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Woo, action fans, during that break, I just built a house. Not on Farmville, I built an actual house.
Wow. No, I
raised a barn on Farmville.
I was impressed. I didn't think you had that upper body strength, but you did it all by yourself. Okay, so what? Join our Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
Yes, and remember, we have new shows every Monday and Friday, new radio shows.
And we were talking about that a little bit, I know, this week. You know, should we change the day because, you know, does Friday get enough of a promotion because it seems like it gets swallowed up by the weekend?
We want to know, action fans. So this is Producer Mike's question. We do shows, new radio shows every Monday and Friday, but Producer Mike's concern was, if a new radio show comes out on Friday, do people kind of maybe register it on Friday and then go do their weekend stuff, and then that Friday episode kind of doesn't get as much play or as much attention as the Monday show gets?
A lot of like talk shows, they don't do shows on Fridays. You know, Howard Stern, a lot of talk shows don't do things on Fridays. Mm. Even Attack of the Show on G4, they don't do...
Really?
Well, they do a show on Friday, but it's kind of like...
Because they feel like on Friday your head is already halfway out the door.
And also maybe it's a saving on money thing. But
right.
they do a mix of what happened during that week.
Like a recap.
Yeah. So I don't know. Whatever. I guess we'll keep going.
We might as well keep it Monday and Friday. Because some people still do write in and say they listen to the show on a Saturday afternoon.
It's just the big days are obviously during the week when people are at work and they're going through shit all the time. So.
Right.
But that's okay.
Let us know your thoughts.
You know what, fans? Forget it. We've already figured it out. We're not going to do it. All right.
The six people that write to us, please write about this.
So Tony sent me this Facebook clip, or Tony sent me this clip of Facebook's, a clip from South Park's Facebook episode, which was called, I think, Zero Friends or something.
Oh, the whole episode was about Facebook.
Yeah.
Wow,
and and I don't get to watch the show much anymore. I used to really be into it like years ago, but anytime somebody sends me clips, it's always funny. Trey and Matt are always right on.
Yes,
they're
amazing.
I love people who are outspoken and just call things what they are. You
and
know?
Alan Moore is a huge fan of South Park.
There you go.
And The Simpsons,
because he's smart. Yes. And so you sent me this thing, this Facebook clip. It is hysterical.
Wanted it to go on. I was sad that it ended quickly.
Well, that's why you got to watch the show itself.
Yeah, the whole episode.
But what? Who's the main kid in that? I forget.
Kyle.
Maybe it's Kyle. I don't know.
Kyle, Stan. I think Kyle is the main kid.
One of them, whoever it was, the main kid, I guess, wasn't on Facebook, but everybody else was peer pressuring
him
to get
on,
him.
Right.
And it's just hysterical when your parents are like, "Did you friend me?" You know,
right.
These kinds of things. And I have gone through that because I am somebody.
Producer
who
Mike is mostly an abstainer from Facebook.
I am not on Facebook.
I mean, you're on it, but you don't use it.
Yeah, not at all. But the same thing. I was peer pressured into getting this
site. And
your
picture is blank.
And people were like, "Did you friend me? Did you friend me?" Like, it matters. I'm like, I'm already your friend. Why
in
do I need
life.
To friend you? Yeah. So I totally related to this clip, and I loved it. I mean, especially when the father's like, "You didn't friend your grandmother. She's in a hospital dying," you know?
Like, do you want to play a clip from it? Because it is pretty great.
Okay, let's play a clip.
According to your Facebook page, we aren't friends.
All right, I'll add you as a friend. I'm sorry.
And you better change your relationship status to in a relationship.
How?
By editing your profile under basic information.
Okay, I'm sorry. Edit profile. Basic settings. Jesus Christ.
Stan, why won't you be friends with Grandma?
Dad, I just really don't want to pay attention to this
Grandma
thing.
Is in the hospital, and you won't even be friends with her.
All right, Dad, I'll add Grandma as a friend.
That's better. Oh, and I sent you a funny picture, and you didn't respond to it.
Dude, f*** Facebook, seriously.
I just like when he's like, fuck this Facebook
right,
shit.
Right. No, it's awesome. And so I just have to say, now the funny thing is, now this episode had just come out, but their newest episode, or their one of their last episodes, was the 200th episode.
Right.
And they got into a kind of a big scandal because of their depiction of Muhammad as a bear.
Well, a guy in a bear suit.
Right.
Yes.
Which you're not allowed to depict Muhammad.
So that was their way around it. They were like, hey, if you can't depict him, let's just put a guy in a bear costume.
But supposedly you can't depict him in a positive or negative light.
You just can't depict him
at all.
Right.
Depict him. So anyway, so let's read. And then they have they had a response. But in the paper, in the article... Or paper. We're not reading papers.
In whatever news site we got this from.
So take Tony.
All right.
Read this.
So okay, most of you know they were threatened or warned, which is an implied threat by Islamic fundamentalist groups. A potential hint of violence, much like the Danish cartoonists who depicted Muhammad. Trey Parker and Matt Stone, creators of the politically incorrect animated show South Park, have incurred the online wrath of a U.S. Muslim group after the airing of its 200th episode that depicts not only Muhammad, by the way, Moses, Jesus, Krishna, and Buddha as human, but shows the Prophet Muhammad in a bear costume. A posting on revolutionmuslim.com, go there now, says, quote, "We have to warn Matt and Trey." I like how they use their first names like they're on a first-name basis. It's like, "We have to warn producer Mike and Tony." You know, they're so familiar. "Matt and Trey, that what they are doing is stupid, and they will probably wind up like Theo van Gogh for airing this show." Theo van Gogh is a Danish filmmaker, not the Danish cartoonist. Why is it always the Danes that are getting attacked by these groups? Maybe Theo was a Swedish or Norwegian filmmaker who did something in a documentary or a film about Muhammad or Muslim extremists, and they killed him. He was assassinated.
It's pretty scary shit.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like a joke. You know?
I know.
It's kind of serious.
It's rather like Nazism, I have to say.
Now, the South Park creators, Matt and Trey, they issued a statement in response to, because Comedy Central did kind of bleep the episode or censor it. So
apparently they bleeped out any time the word... beep, Muhammad
was
spoken.
Right.
Also, by the way, Theo van Gogh, I just have a clarification here. He didn't even use the prophet. He was killed after doing a movie about violence perpetrated against women in Islamic countries.
It's crazy.
I mean, that's like that comic Persepolis is all about.
Right.
Are you
going
to kill her? Are you going to kill everyone?
That's amazing.
I mean, it's really horrible. So Matt Stone and Trey Parker, we don't know them, so we will use their last names. They said... "In the 14 years we've been doing South Park, 14 years, folks, we have never done a show that we couldn't stand behind. We delivered our version of the show to Comedy Central, and they made a determination they made to alter the episode. It wasn't some meta joke on our part. Comedy Central added the bleeps. In fact," and this is the interesting part, action fans, "Kyle's customary final speech," he always has some inspirational speech about the lesson of the episode, "was about intimidation and fear. It didn't mention Muhammad at all, but it got bleeped too. We'll be back next week with a whole new show about something completely different, and we'll see what happens to it." So,
but what's funny too is that it just celebrated in its 14th year, its 200th episode, and there was a funny picture of The Simpsons.
The Simpsons
congratulating
sent
them
a little poster
saying, "Yeah, that's great. We've done that twice."
Because they're on their 470th episode or something in The Simpsons.
And they've been around for, 21 years.
It's insane.
I think 89 was when they
know were. I feel old when I think about how long The Simpsons have existed in my lifetime.
But anyway, so we thought we would do a Muhammad sketch ourselves and just see what happens, you know, because we're kind of a daring podcast, I think, more than most.
There's not enough people listening to send us death threats, so there we go.
So we can do whatever we want. So without any further ado, our Muhammad sketch.
"We interrupt this blasphemous geek sketch to announce that revolutionmuslim.com has declared this sketch unsuitable for public broadcasting. We now return you to your regularly scheduled godless imperialistic geek programming already in progress."
That was awesome. Oh, that has to be our best sketch ever.
I love that part when the guy says that thing. And then they do that. Oh,
that,
my God.
Because you didn't think it was going to go there. It flipped.
Producer Mike, I have to give credit. Producer Mike wrote most of that sketch, and it was really, I have to give it to you. That was brilliant.
No, thanks. But your voice acting was never better.
Well, when I got to do that impression of that character, it was really special for me as an actor.
Oh, man. And you sounded just like him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure action fans, it's our gift to you. I hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. And write in and let us know what you think of that, our best sketch ever.
I didn't mention that we're actually never going to play that again. So if you didn't catch it this time, you're never going to hear it.
It's going in the Disney vault. Yeah, yeah. We have the action vault. All right, action fans. So, well, it seems like we've come to the end of another show in dreary, rainy, neon shine filled New York City. New York City.
No, I think you should end the episode like Humphrey Bogart. But before you do,
yes.
I'm producer Mike.
All right.
And you should say who your name is before you get into character again.
Oh, I'm Tony Wolf. All right, thanks for listening, action fans.
And in the words of Humphrey Bogart, what was his big kind of noir films?
Maltese Falcon.
Okay.
You know, action fans, in the dreary, neon light-filled, smoke-stained corridors and back rooms and illegal poker games in New York City, they say one thing about the action room. It's the stuff that dreams are made of.